Welcome to the Reasonable Faith Virtual Chapter Podcast. My name is Matt Bilyeu. This podcast has the audio portions of our discussions on a Discord server. I certainly recommend joining that server so that you can join in the discussion and see the slides. You can find a link to the server in the show notes. You can also email me at matt.bilyeu, that's B as in boy, I-L-Y-E-U, at reasonablefaith.org. That's matt.bilyeu at reasonablefaith.org. I look forward to chatting with you.
Well, what about the projection objection? Now, some people might have thought of this when I said, before seeking ye shall find, knocking the door will be open to you. So what about the projection objection? Now, this objection is the view that it's sort of like that old adage that if you look hard enough for something, you'll find it, whether it's there or not, right? And so it's sort of that you find it because you want to find it. You believe so hard that you sort of project into this experience. And so I'll give you four responses to that. So first of all, at least with Christianity, I've never done apologetics for another religion, but at least for Christianity, there's other reasons to believe that it's true. So the religious experience, I mean, nobody who's a Christian is going to tell you, well, maybe not no one. No one who's a Christian should tell you that just because you become, you know, you experience God and you're saved, that you should stop. In fact, the Bible specifically tells Christians to continue looking at the evidence that's in Peter, that he says that you need to be ready to give an answer to anyone who would ask as for the why that there's this hope in you. And so there's other evidence, there are other reasons to believe that Christianity is true. So sort of this religious experience can feature in a cumulative case. Secondly, if all that we're doing is projecting, a lot of times what's said is that we're projecting sort of our fears or anxieties onto a father figure who's supposed to fix it all for us so that we feel safe because, you know, Daddy God is going to take care of everything. Well, in principle, if that's the case, it's very surprising then that Christianity is such an active religion. It's very surprising that it's such an active religion because if it's the case that we're projecting all of our anxieties onto God for God to fix it, well, then why do we go about fixing it? You know, Christianity is known for a lot of things, but one of the things it does a lot is ministry out to people, medical missions, all these kinds of things, soup kitchens. And so it's odd that we would be that active if our whole project and what we're doing is projecting this onto a God that we think is supposed to fix everything. So that's kind of weird. Thirdly, there's a lot of the doctrines in Christianity that nobody would want to believe. So for example, you know, out of whole cloth, I wouldn't want to believe in hell, to believe, for example, that some of my loved ones might go there or might have gone there. That's certainly not something I would want to believe. And so this view that we're just projecting what we want to believe is sort of an odd one. And then fourthly, this applies to the atheist as well. If the atheist, you know, the atheist might project their desire for autonomy or their desire to lead their own life or those sorts of things. And so certainly if this objection can apply to the Christian, it can also apply to the atheist as far as why they claim not to have experienced such things, or they claim to experience, you know, a world devoid of God. So our last objection we're going to look at is, what about those who have tried, people who deconverted from Christianity, or people who you know, they say they tried it and it didn't work for them, and so they've moved on. What about those kinds of people? Well, the first thing I would say is it's sort of a naive view of the scriptures to think that anybody who seeks for God in any way that they want, it should expect to find him. Because, I mean, if you think about it, the Roman soldiers sought out Jesus, right? They sought him to put him on a cross. We wouldn't expect them to have, you know, this numinous experience of God in when they're seeking him in that way. And in fact, we have a number of people in the Bible, a number of groups in the Bible who seek God, but they do it in sort of illegitimate ways. And for that reason, they don't find anything. And so the first one are people who seek God as a means to an end. You know, they look at Jesus as a tool to get somewhere else. You see this a lot in the script in the New Testament about people who, Jesus feeds 5,000, then people seek to make him king. Well, why? Because he fed them, right? So, like, what they want is they want out from under Rome's thumb. They want their needs taken care of. They don't want Jesus for Jesus. They want Jesus as a means to the end of Roman occupation, let's say. And so such people naturally don't find what they're looking for, because Jesus isn't interested in being somebody's tool. Secondly, people who approach it as a prosecutor. So the Pharisees, that oil painting is meant to be ancient Pharisees. But the Pharisees would be an example of this. They sought Jesus from a position of, how can I find fault? Like, you know, how can I accuse him? And people who approach Christianity or approach, spiritual things, and they approach it from the lens of, where can I find fault? Or where is this silly? Or those sorts of things. They look for the flaws. Such a person isn't really coming in a faithful way, and they wouldn't expect to experience God when they're coming at it that way. Thirdly, would be a passive person who's trying to experience God. You see this a lot with people that would demand a sign from Jesus. You see those in the New Testament, where they'll say, like, "Well, look, you want me to believe? Then do something miraculous," right? People today, a lot of times, will say that sort of a thing. And this is sort of a passive, you know, look, if God wants to find me, he knows where I'm at, that kind of an attitude. And such people, at least according to the New Testament, would not expect to encounter God. And each of these cases, these three cases, if you think about it, what sort of a relationship would God start if he did reveal himself to somebody in that situation? You know, like, it wouldn't be the sort of faithful relationship and redemption and family that he's trying to build. You know, it'd be them using him as a tool, like a gumball machine to get, candies out. Or the prosecutor, I don't even sure if, there's this old saying from, it was Laplace in France, where he said, even if somebody grew, miraculously grew a limb, he would just say that humans could do it. You know, the humans had a previously unknown ability to instantly regrow limbs. He still wouldn't believe in a miracle. And so it's unclear, even if God appeared to such people, they would think, they'd go see a shrink rather than a pastor, perhaps. And then passive people, again, this is an act of faith. Jesus said that a number of times. And so if somebody who's passive about this thing, hoping God's going to come and find them, that's not the sort of relationship, again, he's looking for. So what instead is it? Well, Jesus said it was a childlike faith. And he didn't say childish faith, right? Remember that it commands you to have reasons for your belief, does the scriptures. And so it's not a childish faith, but it's a childlike faith. Well, what in the world does that mean? Well, let me go and post my last. Sorry, I had a slight technical difficulty right there. So what that means is, there's always going to be kind of two spheres. There's the region of things that you know, and then there's going to be a region of things that you don't know. So it's always going to be the case that what you don't know is more than what you know. It's part of being a human, is we're limited. It's always going to be the case. So there will always be unanswered questions. No matter how many questions are answered, there's always going to be unanswered questions. And the unanswered questions are going to be more than those that are answered. What a childlike faith is being willing to step out on what you do know, despite what you don't know. And so, a child is, my daughter, for example, she trusts me implicitly. It's certainly not without basis. But does she know everything? She doesn't know how I'm going to providing for her, how I'm going to protect her. She doesn't really worry about all that. She just trusts me. Well, in the same way, with God, there are certainly reasons to believe in God, but basically, are you willing to step out on what you do know rather than what you don't? What's going to drive your decision? What's going to drive the way you approach this? What you don't know, the questions that are unanswered, or what you do know, or what you can know? And so if somebody does approach God in that way, willing to step out on what they do know, then they can expect to seek to encounter God, and many people have.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you find these podcasts helpful, please subscribe and share them with a friend. Also, please join our Discord server for live discussions. You can find the server link in the show notes along with my email address. I'll see you next time.